Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Here's one for the ladies. Ladies, this is for you. Sally was driving home from one of her business trips in northern Arizona when she saw an elderly Navajo woman walking on the side of the road. As the trip was long and a quiet one, she stopped the car and asked the woman if she would like a ride. With a silent nod of thanks, the woman got in the car. Resuming the journey, Sally tried in vain to make a bit of small talk with the Navajo woman. The older woman just sat silently looking at everything she saw, studying every detail, until she noticed a white bag on the seat next to Sally. "What's in the bag?" asked the Navajo woman. Sally looked down at the bag and smiling said, "Oh, it's a box of chocolates. I got it for my husband." The Navajo woman was silent for another moment or two, and then speaking with the quiet wisdom of an elder, she said, "Good trade." You'll get it later. That's for the ladies. That's for the ladies. What keeps me from receiving the promises of God? It's a question. Four things I want to share tonight. What keeps me from receiving the promises of God? The first thing, and there's many things, either not all, but there's just four things that just come to my mind lately. And one is lack of patience, lack of patience. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:12, through faith and patience we inherit the promises. So it's not just faith, but it's faith and patience. It takes patience to walk with God. It's interesting that the word patience actually means to suffer. Hebrews 6:12 says that through faith and patience we inherit the promises. And then a couple verses later, in verse 15, it says, "So after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." There's a lot of suffering involved in receiving a promise from God. Not that God's trying to make us hurt or have a lot of pain, but there's a lot of growth that goes through the process of building patience in our life. Paul told Timothy, he says, you got to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's hardship involved in serving the Lord, and you're going to have to learn to just be tough and endure some hardship. Paul also told Timothy, he said, everyone who is godly will suffer persecution. If you're godly, if you're going to live a godly life in an ungodly world, you're going to suffer persecution. It's inevitable. And in the last days, perilous times will come. So the closer we get to the last days, the greater turmoil, more peril, a lot of difficulty, just living in the world, but especially as a Christian. So lack of patience. We have to be patient, patient with God, patient with ourselves, patient as we wait upon the Lord. Second reason we have difficulty receiving promises from God is doubt. Doubt. Peter walked on the water, but then he began to sink. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Why were you afraid? Why did you doubt?" I mean, he's walked on the water. That's quite an accomplishment. I've tried, but I've never walked on the water. And the reason is because God didn't tell me to walk on the water. If he told me to walk on the water, I could walk on the water. He told Peter to walk on the water. Come. I'm serious. I actually did try to walk on the water. I've told many of you that story before. I tried doing that. Because I said, "Lord, I have faith, I believe, you know, and all this kind of stuff." But then I learned a very valuable lesson after getting wet when I realized that he didn't call me to walk on the water. Faith comes from hearing God, not just deciding to do something. You have to hear from God. So anyway, one of the things I wanted to point out here was doubt. Doubt is obviously, we've talked about that in the past few weeks, about hardness of heart and doubt and all those things. Number three is disappointments. And this is where probably most of us are and where I've probably dwelt a lot of my life, unfortunately, living with disappointment, waiting a long time or a promise. You got a promise from God. You have a prophecy. And it seems like, you know, years go by and it's not happening. Have you ever had this thought come to you about some of the promises of God? It hasn't worked for me. You ever had that thought? Next slide. It hasn't worked for me. Just have you ever had the thought? Just be honest. Where do you think the thought came from? You say, well, it came from me. No, probably not. Do you ever frisk your thoughts? Frisk them, like, you know, a police officer. Up against the wall, Betty. Frisk you. Do you ever frisk your thoughts? Where did that thought come from? Probably not every thought, but certainly suspicious thoughts come from the enemy. And what he's doing, he's suggesting them to you, into your mind, and in your mind sounds like your own voice, so you think it's you. He just suggested it. It hasn't worked for you. It's not working for you. And then you verbalize it. If you're holding on to a promise of God and you don't have any sign of anything happening, then you should ask the same question that God asked Adam and Eve in the garden once Satan came and told them they were naked. And then they were hiding from God. Of course, you can't hide from God. And God came and said, why are you hiding? And they said, because we're naked. And God's question was, come on, who told you you were naked? So here's the point. Who told you the promise of God's not working? That's a valid question. Who told you? You say, well, I just said it myself. Probably not. You probably think that, but you really think, who would really be behind questioning a promise of God? The accuser of the brethren to make you let go. Who told you the promise of God was not working for you? It's a valid question. It's like this. If you let that kind of thought, you know, it's not working for me. If you let that kind of thought run through your mind, where's it going to take you? It's going to shut down your receiver. You won't be able to receive anything else from God. Okay? It's like turning off your cell phone and then complaining that you're not getting calls. You shut it off. You turn off the cell phone. I'm not getting any calls. Nothing's getting through. No, God has done his part by giving us his promise, by giving us his word. Our part is to be a what kind of people? When's the last time somebody looked at you and said, you are very peculiar? That's a compliment if they're talking about spiritual things. Our part is to be a peculiar people. What do peculiar people look like? Peculiar people keep believing that we have received even before we see anything materialize. That's peculiar. That's peculiar even in the church. Right, Andrew? I mean, even in the church, most people don't believe they've received. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, 24, you believe that you have received. That makes you very peculiar. Okay? You're off the grid. And another thing that makes you peculiar is that peculiar people call things that are not as though they were. Peculiar? Yes. Romans 4, 17. Another thing that characteristic of peculiar people is they maintain hope against hope. Romans 4, 18. They have hope even when there is no hope. Peculiar people, even in the church. And peculiar people, characteristic number four is they don't consider some things over what God has said. Abraham didn't consider his body, even though he is nearly 100 years old. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm sure the doctors would say, hey, there's no hope here. You ain't going to have it. And they didn't consider those things. Now, you have to be peculiar to receive a promise like that from God. Are you with me? So how do you keep believing for a promise that has not happened over a long period of time? How many years? 16 years. Abraham did for 25 years. King David was told he was going to be king and had to wait 15 years before he saw any sign of it happening. Joseph was put in prison, and he already had the dreams that he was one day going to be an authority figure over a lot of people, and he's in prison 13 years. My first prophetic word I ever received was about, you're going to have an exodus from the Baptist church. And I had that over 10, it was over 10 years before I saw anything like that ever come to pass. When you receive a prophetic promise, it's to give you hope. And yet it doesn't tell you all the fine print. Doesn't tell you the details like how, when, who. Doesn't tell you any of those details. No fine print whatsoever. And so it's to give you hope, it's to give you encouragement. So what you have, when you have a prophetic word from God, a promise that maybe the Holy Spirit has just lighted on a scripture, and you know God's talking to you, he's giving you a promise, and you grab that promise and you hold on to it. You know God's speaking into your life. Now, what do you do with that? What do you do? You have become pregnant. You're pregnant with the word. I see that, Michael. Michael's patting his belly. See, I'm pregnant. You're pregnant with the word when you have a prophetic promise. You're pregnant for how long? In the natural. How long are you pregnant with a prophetic word? How long would have Abraham would tell, if he were here, what would he tell you? 25 years I was pregnant with that thing. King David, 15 years, man, I was pregnant with that word. Joseph, 13 years I was pregnant with that word. It's until. The Bible says, in due season we reap if we faint not. When's due season? Whenever God decides due season is. You're pregnant with a word. But let me tell you something. Being pregnant with a word from God is better than not being pregnant. So you're thankful. So the season is, whenever the season is when you're going to deliver, is whenever God decides. So what do you do during the time that you've received the word? You're pregnant with the word, but it hasn't happened, and year after year after year goes by, and there's no sign of the promise coming about. Well, we are on a love walk with God while we're here on earth. A love walk. A love journey. Okay? So, we walk with God who is love, the Bible says. That's His nature. That's His being. So, we walk with Him. His life is in us. Love lives in us. We can walk this thing out until however long it takes, because we have love inside us that bears long and suffers long and endures all things and bears all things. We have love living inside us. What is this love walk? What is it going to look like? Here's an acrostic. Love is life overcoming victoriously everything. That's what it is. If you really want to know what love is, it's the life of God in you that gives you the grace, the ability to overcome whatever it is you're dealing with today in the power of God. Now, believers already have this put inside them. Romans 5:5 says that believers have the love of God has been poured out, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit already. Just lift your hand up and say, I got it. You got it. If you're a believer, you got it. Jesus said you've already have. It was implanted, imparted to you when you were born of the Spirit of God. You have it. So, well, I don't feel it. Well, there's some reasons for that. We'll get there. But you have it. The Word of God says so. Promised you. You have this love in you that will enable you to walk victoriously through anything and over everything and be an overcomer. Believers can walk in love. Ephesians 5:2, the Word of God commands us to do that. Why would God command us to do that if we couldn't do it? He says, I've given it to you. Now you walk it out. What does it look like when you walk in love? 1 John 4:18. Won't you read that for me? There is. So when you're walking in love, there's no fear. No fear. No fear. No fear. That's how you know you're walking in love. Confidence. No fear. This doesn't mean we don't have moments that try to cause us fear. But when we determine to walk in faith that love, God, is with me, then fear, when it comes at us, takes on a different name for us. Now we deal with fear when it comes. And sometimes fear can be a spirit. God's not given us a spirit of fear. So fear, now we takes on a different name for us. And here's an acrostic for fear. For now, when you walk in love, here's what you do with fear. You face everything and you rise up and be a man and woman of God. You face it. You don't run. You face it and you rise up to your calling to walk in love victoriously over this thing. We can rise above this. We can overcome this. We don't let our feelings dominate us. In fact, as we're walking through this trial or this trouble or whatever it is that we're going through, a bad report from a doctor or financial issues or whatever it may be, we're walking through this thing with love and we're going to glean the fields as we're walking. We're going to learn some things about God that we didn't know before. He's going to show us what he wants to be to us in this trouble, in this trial. We're already victorious. You need to look in the mirror and tell your face that. You're already victorious. What you worried about? You already conquered this thing by faith. If you're going to be a peculiar person, are you with me? There was a middle-aged man whose career was suddenly interrupted by the discovery of leukemia, blood cancer. All his life plans were crushed. He suddenly had to change his whole lifestyle to accommodate treatment. He was very depressed. Slowly, he stopped asking the question, why? What did I do to deserve this? Why is this happening to me? Instead, he began to ask God this question. What is the promise hidden in this event? What is the promise of God that I can discover so I can live victoriously over this thing? He began to ask God that question. And that changed his whole perspective. He began to use the pain of what he was going through as a source to give help and encouragement to people around him that were going through the same or similar things. He began to minister to people. And he lived a lot longer than the doctors ever intended or expected him to live. And he ministered to more people than most ministers ever minister to. He found purpose for his life, purpose in his pain. I said there are four major things that keep us from receiving the promises of God: lack of patience, doubt, disappointment. Now here's the fourth one. This is probably most important. It comes after disappointment. We stop hearing God about a promise. We stop hearing God about a promise. You see, God didn't just have one thing to say when he gave you a prophetic promise. He wants to unfold it like a flower. Now there's more he wants to show you. There's more he wants to explain to you. The Bible says it this way, Romans 10:10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Would you say that with me? Faith cometh. Now look closely and notice what it does not say. It does not say faith comes by hearing the word of God. You just read it. Am I right? It doesn't say that. It says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word of God. I want to point out something to you that I think is very interesting. Faith comes by hearing. You got to hear, first of all, in the natural. You got to hear. You either read it, somebody preach it to you, somebody's got to tell you. You got to hear in the natural. But notice it says, but and by hearing, which is in the spirit. You hear the voice of God as you keep on hearing. You don't live off having heard. Faith does not come by having heard. Faith comes by present tense, ongoing action, by hearing. I heard what he said, but am I hearing what he's saying? In the now. Faith is now. Now faith is. Are you with me? Hearing. You should be hearing now what God has to say for you. Now let me try to break this down so you can understand. You hear God by keep on hearing when other people have given up. They said, oh, that didn't work. We prayed and it didn't happen. We believed and it didn't happen. They quit hearing. Do you know anybody that quit hearing God? They shut him down? You probably do. They probably don't go to church anymore. They probably don't read the Bible anymore. They may say they believe all that. Who knows? But you probably know people who quit hearing. They got disappointed. They got discouraged. And they quit hearing. This is why meditation is so important. Meditation, not medication. Meditation. Meditation is not the same thing as memorization. I wish somebody told me that a long time ago. Memorization is when you memorize the scripture, is mind repetition. It's work. Meditation is tasting. Imagining with a godly imagination. Chewing. Savoring. Pondering. Thinking it over and over again. Asking God questions, talking it over with God, listening for any thoughts he might share. Meditation is the way the Creator designed you to be able to hear God. So if you say, I don't hear God, here's probably the reason. I've been meditating on Psalm 46 for about a couple of months now. And as the Lord leads, I think in a week or two, I'm going to start preaching through it. But the things I have received out of meditating on this scripture and just repeating it to myself and talking it over with God and praying on one word or two as I read Psalm 46, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. As I chew on Psalm 46 and I walk around in circles in my backyard, I got a path now. You come to my backyard, you can see there's a path. That's where I just walk around and talk to God and just chew on the scripture, chew on the word, meditating on it with him. And things begin to open up. And I have heard the voice of God countless times through meditation. The way we were designed by the Creator to be able to hear God. Meditation. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you hear God quicken a scripture or a word or anything to you, it lights you up on the inside. You're excited. You know you've heard from God. You know God's speaking to you, and you've listened to Him, and you've heard Him. It's spirit, because you're spirit, and your spirit picks up on a spirit word. Ah. And there are times that you hear preaching that is just man-made messages. And there are times when you hear preaching, there's life in it, there's spirit in it. And you glean from it, and your spirit just gravitates toward that. It just goes toward it, and your spirit picks up on that, because your spirit is always gleaning. Where's the word of God for today? What's God saying? What's God showing me? And you're gleaning as you're walking through this life, and your spirit's picking up on, there it is, there it is. Your spirit picks up on what's spirit and what is life, because it's hungry for the things of God. Are you with me? Bible says the word of God is piercing and dividing the soul from the spirit. When the word, the living word of God comes to you, your soul, I mean, it goes into your spirit. The word of God goes right past and right into the spirit. Past the soul, the mind, will, and right into the spirit. God designed us. He designed us, Bert, to understand that how we receive from God is that we feed on the Word of God. We don't just read it as a mental exercise. We feed on it with our spirit. Jesus calls us sheep because we have some likenesses to sheep spiritually. One of the ways that sheep are designed by the Creator to eat their food is they ruminate. Isn't that a great word, ruminate? I love that word. Next time you sit down to a meal, let's just ruminate here for a while. Means chew the cud. Sheep are designed to chew the cud. Pre-digested food. Jesus calls us sheep. A sheep actually has one stomach but four chambers through which the food it eats is digested through a very slow process. So it gets all the nutrients out of the food. Sheep are made to graze. They eat on grass, weeds, and hay. If they are given processed grain, they like it because it's like candy, but it's fatal to them too much because processed grain is already processed. They're designed to chew and go down, come back up, chew it again, go back down, come back up and chew it. That's the way they're designed. So when they're given processed grain, which they love, it's like candy to them, but they'll eat it too fast and it could kill them. When we feed on the Word of God, we're supposed to feed on it slowly, not gulp it down, not say, well, I got to get my three chapters in today. Well, that's probably not going to do you much good. It'd be better just to chew on one verse or one paragraph until you know that you got something and chew on that thing. And meditate on that thing. Let it go down and bring it back up again. And think on that thing. Ask some questions. Chew on it. Ponder it. Muse over it. Talk to God about it. Take a prayer walk and just take that one scripture, write it on a little card, and just talk to God about it. You'll be surprised how much nourishment you'll get out of the Word of God just if you slow down. Hello. Do you know that God says prosperity and success are available to everybody? I'm not lying to you. God says prosperity and success is available to everybody. Who wants to prosper? Who wants to be successful? If you want to know more about how to do that, read tonight when you go home, Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1:2. Next slide. Write those two verses down. You can look at them later. It tells you this is how God says you will prosper in this life and you will have good success. Right there. If a sheep farmer will care for the sheep the way the Creator designed, then the sheep will produce great things. Tell me some things the sheep produce. Wool, a lot of our clothing, meat, skin, lambskin. A lot of pharmaceuticals come from lamb's blood. Do you know that the anti-venom for the rattlesnake comes from lamb's blood? I think that's kind of ironic. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has the anti-venom for Satan, the serpent. Amen. And so, some anti-cancer drugs come out of lamb's blood, things like that. So if the farmer, the sheep farmer, the shepherd will take care of the sheep, make sure he eats like he's supposed to eat and lives like he's supposed to live, then the sheep will produce all the things that God intended the sheep to produce. Now, we're created by our Creator to operate a certain way too. We are ruminants just like sheep. We're supposed to chew on the Word. We're supposed to ponder the Word. We're supposed to meditate on the Word, not just read and gulp it down with any thought, without any thought. And as we meditate on God's Word like we're supposed to, and you keep a little 50-cent journal and a pad with you wherever you go, and things will come to you throughout your day while you're going about your work, while you're in this Publix or Walmart or wherever you go, and things will come to you, and you'll just need to write them down because you'll know that's God talking to me while I'm gleaning through this life. And you will start to prosper in ways you never imagined. And as you meditate, write things down that you think God's talking to you about. Not for anybody else to see, just for you to keep a record of, because your memory will not remember all these things. You should always bring a little pad like this with you to church. Always. Anytime you go into any important meeting with somebody important, you would take a notepad with you of some kind or some kind of recording device so that you could write down notes, wouldn't you? If the president asked you into his office today and said, hey, I want to talk with you, you'd take a notepad. Am I talking to myself or am I talking to people that can hear me? I make sure y'all can hear me. Yeah, well, and you come here to meet with God. God will speak to you through a song, maybe just one word, one phrase, a testimony, a scripture, or a conversation while you're walking out to the car with somebody, and God will talk to you and you'll go, wow. I know that God was talking to me. And you need to write that down. And you need to reflect on it later. You need to go back and ponder it. And sometimes you'll string those things together over a period of weeks and months even. And you'll look back as you review and you'll go, wow, look what the Lord, I can see. God was preparing me. God was teaching me. God was training me. God was trying to get me somewhere. Hello. Faith cometh by hearing. In the natural, and by hearing the Word of God, or hearing God by your spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. So by meditating on the natural, you begin to hear the voice of God or the Spirit for yourself. Meditation is purposely slowing down. I caught myself today. This is one of my constant struggles. My flesh likes to hurry when there's no reason to hurry. Are there any other human beings breathing here that the same way? I don't know why. I mean, there's no reason to hurry, but I want to go 10 miles an hour over a speed limit just because I think I can get away with it. Why? What's your hurry? I have no reason to hurry. It is a habit of the flesh trying to dominate me. And one of the things I have discovered with God is that if you're going to walk with God, you can't be in a hurry. You say, well, I'm going to be late. No, you'll be there right on time. Maybe you should have left a little earlier. Maybe you need to apologize for being late at the meeting or whatever. But you'll be surprised sometimes when you quit hurrying and you arrive at a meeting or arrive at a destination and you were maybe a few minutes later than you expected. And you can guess what? Things didn't even start to happen until you got there anyway. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? That was the other night. We was coming to Casa Hope graduation. And, you know, we don't live too far down the road from the church there. And but we were late, you know, getting in the car and all that kind of stuff. And my flesh wanted to say, well, speed up a little bit, you know. That's what my son tells me because I purposely drive slower when I feel my flesh wanting to take over. So my son will often say to me, he'll say, step on it, Grandpa. Come on. And my wife is that way too. She says, she'll reach over and she'll push on my leg. She says, push on that. And I said, I am not going to hurry. That's great before you go to church. You know, I ain't going to hurry. Argue with, I ain't going to be in a hurry. We'll get there when we get there. And sure enough, we got there. I think it was a couple minutes after 7 or whatever like that, walked in, got in, the next thing you know, hey, things just now starting to happen. Party just started. Can you identify what I'm talking about? If you're going to walk with God, you're going to go His pace. He doesn't speed. He doesn't speed.
One Sunday I was rushing to church and the man caught me. And all I could do, I'm sorry, officer, I'm trying to get to church. He said, okay, drive slow and get to church. So I said, thank you and God bless you. I slowed down ever since. Get to church when I get there.
Most mistakes are made when we're in a hurry. So, all right, let me finish this up here. After I got saved, I started reading the Bible. But I didn't know how to meditate. And so no one taught me until years later. So I started reading the Bible, and reading the Bible for me was just kind of hit and miss. You know, someday you'd read something that excites you and you feel like maybe God was talking to you, but most days you just kind of read it out of discipline and it just didn't get a whole much out of it. But what drew me in to start loving the Word of God was those times when I realized God was talking to me through the Word. I heard His voice when I would recognize He was talking to me when I was that drew me back. And it wasn't every day, but I knew God was talking to me, and I started to fall in love with this Word. People say God's not talking to them. But actually, no, they're not listening according to the way God designed you to listen. Slow down. Read one scripture. Chew on that till you hear the voice of God. Our friend Mark Verkler wrote a great book about hearing God, and I'll give you the four quick keys he talks about listening to God. I think it's a good idea. He says, number one, become still and aware of God's presence. You have to become still. God's with you. You need to acknowledge Him. Thank you, God, you're with me. Thank you that you're my shepherd. Thank you, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're with me. Thank you. Number two, God's voice often sounds like spontaneous thoughts. Well, then how do I know if it's God or if it's Satan? Well, God's thoughts always line up with his character and his name and his word. Satan's thoughts always line up with his. If you're feeling condemnation, if you're feeling accusing, if you're feeling bitter or resentful or hateful, you know that's coming from the enemy. Pretty clear. Number three, let God use your imagination to show you things. Boy, that's when things start. That's when you begin to see in the spirit. I don't have time to tell you tonight, but God can take you to places you would never get there on your own if you allow him to use your imagination. And he's an artist. He'll paint things and show you things. Number four, write in a private journal the spontaneous flow of thoughts. Keep a record. Go back over it. It's one way that God will confirm that you are hearing him. What keeps me from receiving the promises of God tonight? We talked about four things. Lack of patience, doubt, disappointment, and we stop hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God in what you're hearing. All right, let's stand together. Thank you for your patience tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time together in a midweek service. We can encourage one another. We pray for the Breakthrough to Freedom seminar service coming up Friday night. Father, we pray for safety of everyone traveling, those coming from out of town, and the people here. We pray that you'll bring people here that need to be here so they can experience the freedom that you have for them in Christ. Pray that you bless Bill and Sylvie as they make their way, provide for them, make their every need taken care of, and may they be able to be rested and from a spirit of rest in you, be able to deliver the right now word that we need to hear Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we thank you for it, Lord. This word will not return void. It will accomplish what you sent it forth to do. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be sure you welcome people tonight. God bless you all. Thank you for being here.
Bye.
Hey.